We can live like Jack and Sally if we want, where you can always find me, and we'll have Halloween on Christmas. That is lyrics from the hit song I Miss You by Blink-182. Mark Hoppus and Tom DeLonge dive deep into the haunting nature of longing and loss, and the struggles of coping with the absence of a significant other. That line in particular, "We can live like Jack and Sally if we want," is a reference to the 1993 Disney musical, The Nightmare Before Christmas. It's a gothic animated stop-motion movie about Jack Skellington, the king of Halloween Town, discovering Christmas Town and his schemes to take over the holiday. His love interest in the movie is Sally. And ever since 1993, young alternative lovers compare themselves to Jack and Sally. Heck, even when I was younger, I thought I had a Jack and Sally type relationship. Going back to I Miss You by Blink-182, the song peaked at number one on Billboard's alternative songs and became certified gold. But if you dig deeper into the song and look past the nasally vocal singing styles of Tom, I think the line about Jack and Sally isn't a reference to The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a reference to a movie that came out 12 years before, 1981 to be precise. I Think I Miss You is a reference to the political conspiracy thriller by Brian De Palma, starring John Travolta as Jack and Nancy Allen as Sally. The movie follows a sound recordist who accidentally captures evidence that proves a car accident was a murder. Spooky stuff. Is Jack going crazy? Or will Sally help him solve the case? He's got a lot of sound effects and voices in his head. Can he get them all straightened out? Maybe Tom and Mark said it best. You're already the voice inside my head. Today, the Moist Boys dive deep into Blowout.
I like that a lot.
Welcome back to the Moist Movie of the Month. Do you remember this fucking dumb spinoff that we do? We haven't done one of these in a few months.
Yep, but it's back.
And this is the only reason why a lot of people listen to the podcast. Yep. So thanks for coming back months later.
I hope you watched Blowout.
Yeah, I hope you watched Blowout months ago when we announced it.
Yep.
We finally got around to watching it, and now we're going to talk about it. And in case you guys are listening, we're going to dive deep into every scene, and there will be spoilers, and we're going to talk about everything.
Yep. We go top to bottom through the movie.
Yeah, I don't even know if this time movie reviews are done, but we discussed the scenes throughout.
And like, we didn't decide together that this is how we were gonna do it. We were just like, all right, opening scene,
that's just how I
this
take
is
notes.
How it happened.
I mean, that's how I remember things. And speaking of that, let's jump into Blowout, 1981 Brian De Palma film, starring John Travolta, what's her name, Nancy Allen, and then freaking John Lithgow.
He shows up.
That's wild. But Blowout opens up like a scary movie, a sorority like house with a cop that gets killed outside.
Yeah, and like it was a confusing kill too.
Yeah.
Because also, was the cop just watching?
And I don't know what. Yeah, because the cop, two people walked in and then a cop was just like looking at the door.
Yeah.
It was weird.
And then we kind of like, yeah, cop falls dead.
And then I do like how it started off and it was just like a camera following.
Yeah, it was very similar to like how Halloween starts.
Yes.
Where it's from the point of view for
of
a
the
second.
Killer.
Yeah.
So then we see like a lame roommate's complaining about the noise because they're trying to throw a party. It looks like people are fucking having sex.
Or and masturbating.
We see a chick masturbating.
Yep. And like, we are the killer, and like, he just kind of like walks past all the windows.
And then all of a sudden, like, there's these two people having sex and she notices something outside. So they quit having sex.
Yep.
And they're like looking outside. And then it's just like chicks walking around in their underwear.
And then it follows.
And then he just is inside somehow.
And we're in rooms, but no one's noticing us yet.
Yeah, that's the weird part. I don't get it.
And it's all just hot, like young women.
Yeah. And then it cuts to a girl in the shower, fucking tits immediately. And I'm like, all right, 81, let's go, dude.
Yeah, not bad.
And I was like, is this what the movie's going to be? And like, the girl screams, and I was like, what the hell? That scream was terrible. And then he goes, stop.
Yep.
And then it's a movie about a movie.
Which,
I always like that.
Because I was excited at the very beginning when we got this weird, because I didn't know what this movie was about.
Yeah.
So like, I thought maybe it could be a weird like slasher movie.
I knew it was kind of like a thriller, but I didn't know what type of thriller.
Yeah, but then as the slasher was shown to be such a bad slasher movie, I got worried until he yelled cut.
Yeah, and then it kind of reminds me of like the opening to like that Tales from the Crypt movie.
Sure,
yeah. It's like, it's just like
another movie.
It's just like women and tits.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's just like cut.
Yep.
But then it turns out it's a fake movie being put together by a director and a producer. And then John Travolta is the sound guy and he does all these sound effects, which is, I think I like that concept.
That's a cool job, especially for back then too.
Yeah. You're doing a lot of like Foley and all that stuff. That doing sound effects back in the day, that had been really
physical,
hard.
Like everything was on.
You had
like,
to do it. So then they're talking about this girl's scream, and I wrote down my first quote of the movie.
Oh.
The director producer guy goes, I didn't hire that girl for her scream. Hired her for her tits. Because you see her tits. And
great
just
tits.
Like,
horrible scream.
Yeah, terrible scream. So then they're talking about, apparently they've been working on movies together for a couple years
they
now.
They said they did 5 films in 2 years.
What's fun, though, is he lists all these movies that are mm-hmm. fake movies they work together.
Yeah.
And one of the movies he lists is Bordello of Blood.
Oh, really? I did not hear that.
Yeah, so it's like in the list of movies he's listing that he worked on with this guy. And one of them is Bordello of Blood. And
which
this movie
later
came out,
became.
Which later became a Tales from the Crypt movie.
Yeah. Huh.
But like when this came out, that wasn't a movie.
Weird.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, they must have just like heard that and ran with it.
I mean, yeah, that's a cool thing. So he's been doing sound for movies for about 2 years, working with this guy.
But I will say, because this is my note here, is these guys have our dream job. Just to put out shitty movies.
Yeah, dude, and they're doing it for a living?
Yeah, that'd be incredible.
Yeah, but the director slash producer guy didn't quite know his role. Like the owner of a company or whatever.
Yeah.
Production company. He kept going, you gotta give me a better scream. Mm-hmm. And then he got mad about the wind sound effects and all that shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Like, he's being strict, but the movies are bad.
Yeah.
But then it cuts to the opening credits, which these are very simple. But I kind of liked it. It was like windshields, kind of the effects. And then it cuts to the old school movie making process
mm-hmm.
where like he's literally cutting a movie with tape and like he's doing all the sound and stuff. And I, as a movie maker, I love seeing like, man, I can't imagine back in the day editing. You had to literally cut and tape.
And like you had to get like perfectly like put together. You couldn't just drag and drop it.
No, you can't.
Like,
and then if you cut it, you're like, oh, fuck.
It's cut. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be so scary. But then, like, he's doing all the sound for it. And then while this is going on, the TV's on, and we know that there's, like, a presidential campaign going on.
It's split screen.
Which is cool. I love this effect.
This is my favorite scene in the whole movie, probably.
Oh, damn, the opening scene.
Where I think, like, he's working on the left, and then on the right is just the picture from his TV.
Yeah, it's just the newscast talking about the presidential campaign.
But kinda it's a feed of the TV
screen. Yeah, it's on the TV screen, and then it's him doing a bunch of sound effects and shit, which was really fun because there's a little bit of foreshadowing in this.
Yeah, because I didn't know anything about the movie, so I wasn't sure if the news was just to say what was like going on or if it was going to be super specific.
It was establishing something about like the governor running for president and all that stuff. But what's really cool is he was messing around with sound effects during it. And like there's a thing. I'd have to watch it again to know exactly what happens. But there's like a gunshot sound effect.
Okay.
And then they say the name of the guy that gets killed.
Oh.
So I'm like, oh, that's a little bit foreshadowing. But if you don't know, you don't know.
Sure. That's fine.
Because I didn't know anything about this movie until, you know, I saw it and. But I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty sick. And he literally is making, like, he has, like, tapes of just individual sound effects.
And just, like, yeah, labeling
and
them.
And I'm like, dude, that'd be so
tedious.
That's
where my wind goes.
Yeah, that's insane because I just have a folder of sound effects.
Yeah, you have that website you subscribe to. Yeah. Just full of them.
And then he leaves his office for the day to go capture wind noises.
I like his, like, physical wand.
Yeah, that's a good microphone. Even back in the 81, like, that's still one of the good.
I mean, by how... like well he could use it, it seemed like it, where he could like point at a frog 50 feet away.
Yeah, that's insane. He kept it. So he's on the bridge in the middle of nowhere trying to capture wind noises, and you're just like, as a viewer I'm like what's this movie about, like, you know,
capturing
I'm so confused. And then he starts catching some talking, and there's like two people walking by, and he's like starts listening to them but like literally pointing.
I would love to do that, but secretly, because I'm always scared people think I'm listening to
and
that.
The lady's like, this guy's listening, and he's just
he's still just pointing at him. Because I've tried to learn the art of secretly listening to conversations.
It is fun. Yeah. But if you have a good mic, you don't have to be like, you could just point, but look away. He was intently staring.
Or like rest it. Like, so it's just like half-heartedly pointed at them.
And then just listen to the conversation. Yeah. But then they leave. And then he starts catching up some like weird nature noises. He gets like a frog, an owl.
Yeah.
I did like some of the effects. They did like picture in picture a little bit. So like this scene in particular, we got a close up of the owl's face.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like a, it wasn't like a hard line, but like a blurred line. And then you could see him on the bridge.
Okay.
So it was like definitely like showing the depth. They do that later on in the movie, which is cool. I like that. So they did some, like, for early 80s, this pretty cool effect.
There's some weird stuff.
Like the split screens. I love some of the camera shots. We'll talk about those later. But then he's listening. He hears the owl going, and then he hears tires screech. And then car crash.
Which, he just immediately just starts pointing the wand until the car What, like drives through a railing into a lake
this
or
car
river.
Is driving down the road, and then it just swerves and then drives off a railing into a river. And he just immediately drops his sound equipment and jumps in. Yeah.
And then did you notice on the first time that you watched this that the guy was up there after John Travolta jumped in the water?
I noticed the guy on the bridge, and I was like, who the fuck is that?
I thought it was an accident first. I rewound it and rewatched it, and Izzy was like, no, I think that's on purpose.
I didn't see. I was confused by that, but I was like, oh, that must have been just some... I think that was establishing the photographer, the guy. But it was kind of confusing. So John Travolta, Jack, dives in to save him. There's a chick alive in the car, and then there's some dead guy covered in blood. That's like kind of scary.
I was surprised by his wounds too.
Yeah, because it was like in the face and stuff.
I think you saw like part of his brain.
Yeah, and he's just like, "What the fuck?"
And just the car is filling with red water too. Yeah. Terrifying.
So John Travolta freaks out, goes up and gets air, and then comes back and tries to save this chick. And he like grabs a rock and he starts breaking the window.
Which that's got to feel like fighting it in a dream. Oh, like the idea of like holding a rock underwater, trying to break a window
and trying to use force because there's so much resistance.
You get nothing.
And
yeah.
The lower you are, the more resistance there is.
Okay.
Because I think the gravity and weight and water per square inch.
That makes sense.
You know,
but like I don't even know if I physically could break a window underwater with like anything.
I don't know. I mean, having a car go into water is one of the scariest things.
Yeah, especially now that we don't have the physical roll down windows.
Yeah, because now your automatic would shut off immediately because of electrical, and then you'd be like, fuck.
Yep.
If you got a full down thing, you got to wait till you're fully submerged and then open it.
Yeah.
Well, I learned that at Mythbusters.
Me too.
But he uses the rock. He finally breaks the window. He pulls this girl out, and then it cuts to the emergency room. And she's being saved. He's being questioned. I love how it's early 80s, middle of the hospital. He's smoking a cigarette.
Yep, just throughout the entire time.
Just in the hospital.
It's
like,
so wild.
And I'm like, oh yeah, that was back like before in the day.
People just
smoked everywhere.
It was normal. They didn't know it was bad for you.
That's insane. Even at a hospital.
Which I think now they're talking about that it's not as bad for you. I don't know.
It's still...
It can't be great.
I mean, even if there's... With all the gunk in it, you're still putting smoke in your lungs. Like, I know, like, weed smoke... Like, smoking weed can't be good for you.
I assume not.
I don't know.
We'll see.
You're smoking your lungs?
Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know, but they smoke meat and that tastes good.
But then he has this conversation with the cop and it's confusing immediately.
Yes.
He keeps ignoring that the girl is there or something like that.
Well, yeah, this guy is like, so John Travolta is saying that he heard a bang before the screech, before the blowout. This is when they first say blowout, which is the name of the movie.
Gotcha. They say it at least 10 times.
They say it a lot. But he's talking to him, and then this detective keeps being argumentative with him, and it's weird. And then he goes to check on the girl, and she's fine with just some minor bruises, but she's like loopy as hell.
Yeah, I didn't know if like she was on pain medication or if like she was drugged beforehand.
I don't know, but she was like out of it.
Yeah.
And she was being weird.
And he was pretty flirty pretty quick too.
And this is when we meet Nancy Allen, who is the girl from fucking RoboCop.
Which I did not pick up
on. Dude, RoboCop's one of my favorite movies.
So she's great in RoboCop.
She's amazing in RoboCop. In this,
she's not bad. The character is a lot.
Also, like, there's a scene later on where like her voice was just annoying. Like, I didn't know.
They were doing that voice.
She was doing
hard.
Yeah, she was like doing a voice. She wasn't like, because in RoboCop, she talks normal, but she also plays a badass. And then she kind of plays like a scared prostitute a little bit.
I think so.
Or someone that blackmails. We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
But he starts to flirt with her instantly. And this is where we find out his name's Jack and she's Sally. And guess what? The voice is in my head. You like that? That's my impersonation of like what they do.
It's great.
Yeah.
And then just a wave of police show up.
Yeah, a bunch of cops, fucking reporters just come straight into the hospital. And John Travolta's like, what the heck? And then we see the guy from the car being rolled by on a gurney or whatever.
Turns out he is the governor.
Yeah, it turns out he's the governor that was running for president.
That would have won.
And everyone's like, I was going to vote for him.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what?
And then now everyone's denying that the girl was even there because we find out that it's an affair he was having.
Yes. And like this guy comes to talk to him that's like the governor's like right-hand man or something like this. And he keeps telling Jack to forget about it, to just move on. Like he's like
because this guy died, you don't need to drag him through the mud.
Yeah, he keeps saying, we don't want to embarrass the family.
Yeah.
It's better that the governor died alone.
But then Jack's kind of like, yeah, but the truth is the truth. Like that seems like something too.
Imagine being in that situation.
Yeah.
You like save a girl's life and then people are just like, forget about it. And you're just like, what?
But also like the excuse they give you, you like kind of get it.
I kind of get it, but I'm just like, but what? So yeah. I jumped in for nothing. Like yeah. I saved a girl's life and they're just, so he fights him so hard to be quiet about it. And then they finally agree and they're able to leave out the back of the hospital.
Which they release the girl to just the stranger too. Like know, they don't know the, each other.
Yeah, that's what's
and
so weird.
And she's fucked up.
She's, yeah. Things could have gone south.
Real bad, quickly. Real quick.
But it cuts to Jack driving with Sally. She's out of it. Just
luckily he's a good guy.
Yeah, luckily he's a good guy. Other than, unlike John Lithgow, or whatever his name is.
We find that
he's a bad guy. But they're discussing the accident, and then instead of going back to her place or his place, they decide to go to a motel to avoid the press.
Which is also wild.
Yeah. And he even makes a note of that. He's like, first it was a drink, then it was my place, now it's a motel.
Yeah.
He says that in the movie, and
but
it's
also like she's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, she can't talk
well. You're not
going
to fuck her. Like, yeah. So then he carries her into the fucking hotel, which mm-hmm. is weird because she's like asleep.
Yep.
Did she like have a concussion or something?
Maybe, and in which case she shouldn't be asleep.
But he puts her in bed, puts the covers on her, and then goes back to his car and gets his listening shit. And he starts reliving the accident, which is like kind of cool because it like you can see like he does sound so well that he can like visualize shit.
What's happening.
And he's
yeah.
like kind of conducting the scene a little bit with his pencil,
yeah.
which is fun. So you're like reliving the scene. You're reliving like the nature noises, the couple talking, the frog, the owl, and then the crash. And he starts playing it back and you can really notice the gunshot this time. Like when it first happens, there was a lot of chaotic.
Or like it could just, one thing could make two sounds.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It could just be a popping
yeah.
noise, you know?
But yeah, so it turns out there's a gunshot and then a popping noise, and that's the blowout.
And he, like, just from the sound, he's like, foul play. Like, he knew something was wrong.
He just has super hearing for some reason.
I mean, he's a sound guy, dude. He knows what sound effects sound like.
Yeah.
It's his job to be like, that's a gunshot. That's a scream.
I guess.
But
yeah.
also, if you're a sound guy, you can make something, you can make, like, this sound like this.
Yeah, it's not real gunshots.
Yeah, you can make, like, rain be, like, the sound of, I don't know, like... So many sound effects in movies are not what you think they are.
I think most of them aren't
yeah,
at this point.
It's just like...
Well, because also there's so many things that like the sound of a punch in real life versus a movie is so different.
Yes.
We all assume it sounds like a movie, but instead it's the real thing.
And like a punch sound effect, you like, it's like you punch like lettuce.
Yeah.
And it gives you like a weird like...
Weird.
I don't know. Foley is a weird thing. But then it cuts to the police station and... it's like the police garage and the guy is closing the garage. I think that's like the impounded vehicle
okay.
that they got from the river. Yeah. And some guy breaks into the cop garage and he throws in a tire and he, swaps out the tire from the car accident because there was a bullet hole in it. And like, we even see like the bullet went in and went out. And because
wasn't
of
just
that
a blowout.
We're drinking flat tire.
Yep.
That's what we're drinking today. We're drinking a fat tire ale. Low impact, high quality.
Won't blow out.
It's the only thing we could think of that related to this movie.
Yeah.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
Dang, you've already drank half of it?
Yeah, I like fat tire.
Oh. Damn. Usually Jacob's a slow drinker.
This was also our heavyweights drink because I had the word fat in it.
I was wondering if we've done this before, but I couldn't remember what movie it was. We picked this for heavyweights?
Yeah. Because the word fat in it.
This makes more sense.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. But he swaps out the tire, so then the police, like, this, whoever this guy is trying to cover his tracks.
He's doing it well.
And he's doing it well, but we don't know who this guy is.
We don't know. It's John Lithgow.
Yeah, we don't know that yet, because we just see the back of him wearing a hat and shit.
And doesn't look like John Lithgow.
Looks like a tall, skinny guy. Cut to the next morning at the motel, and she's wide awake, and she's not out of it anymore.
No, she's normal.
She's completely fine.
Yep.
John Travolta, or Jack, fell asleep listening to the sound effect of the car crash.
Yep.
And he's like up against the window. At least he didn't sleep in the bed with her. Like, you know, he's respectful.
I would have like slept at like the foot.
Yeah. But apparently
or the cock chair.
Apparently he fell asleep listening to sound effects.
Definitely wouldn't do that.
She woke him up with some coffee and then they just start talking about sound effects,
mm-hmm.
recording stuff. And then we find out that she wants to be a makeup artist.
What do you think of their chemistry?
Dude, it was forced.
Yeah. Like it's almost there, but then it's just like.
But also, like,
it doesn't seem like they like each other.
They were flirty immediately.
Yeah.
And it was like,
but it's
weird.
Still not
it
quite
didn't, yeah,
right.
The chemistry, yeah. And throughout the entire film, didn't quite feel like.
Like, it seemed like she didn't like him that much, but he was trying so much.
He was trying so hard, but then sometimes it seemed like he didn't like her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But also, I feel like
weird.
She was weird throughout it.
Well, yeah, because she had secrets.
Because she has secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, it was weird.
And he has zero secrets.
No, he's 100% about telling the truth.
Which
I
is
guess.
Also like, yeah, I guess this guy has a great conscience.
But he's like,
the sound guy for a basically softcore porn.
It basically is porn.
Yeah.
Because like, he works above a triple X theater.
Yeah. Like, I thought that was interesting. And this guy's just a stand-up dude. But we do find out about his past. I guess that's the reason
why. It makes sense. Yeah.
Because I forgot about that.
He had a good job. But she wants to do makeup for movies. That's her dream. But then he starts showing her the sounds from the crash because he's like, oh, there's a gunshot. And she's like, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to relive the accident. Right. So she gets defensive and doesn't want to talk. And then she doesn't want to talk about what she was doing with the governor. And then she's just like fucking leaves.
Yeah.
She promised to get a drink with him early on.
Yeah.
But then was like, well, I'll be my friend's house. You can call my friend and then we'll decide.
Yeah. She's in the book. Yeah. Which, can you imagine?
Yeah. Well, you have to find someone in the phone book.
You have to call this girl's friend from a book. You don't know which one is her.
Hey, is Sally there? Who's calling?
Yeah. Do you have a friend named Sally? Like,
yeah.
Because there might be multiple names. I don't know. That's the tough part.
It's like Dumb and Dumber when he's looking for that girl's name in the phone book. Well, also, if it's a common name,
yeah,
it could be like four of them.
Oh, that's why so many Sarah Connors got murdered.
Fuck yeah. Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense in the 80s.
Yeah.
Now with the computer.
Dead? It's you.
Sarah Connor. But this is when we cut to the outside of where he works. He works above a triple X film theater. So he's just making shitty B grade softcore porn.
The dream. It's because he's in LA or outside of LA. Yeah,
something like that, you know?
I would work for Trauma in a heartbeat.
I mean, dude, you'd be making movies
enough. Yeah. And just having fun.
You wouldn't be making a ton of money, but you'd be doing it for a living.
But also, like, then you could like make the movies like where they don't have to be great, but you could put little like actually good things in them.
Yeah. And you could actually have fun with it instead of like people like on like a triple A set.
Not great. Yeah.
Yeah. But it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
You know, you can just have fun with it.
God, we should just do that. Dude, Moist Productions. There's no way that won't end up as porn.
Do you know a single lady that would just have her tits out?
We don't need to do that, I guess.
That's what it is, though.
That is true.
That's what it is.
Yeah, nowadays it seems weirder.
It's B-grade horror with tits.
But making B-grade horror now does seem weirder than it used to.
Yeah, it's just like, take your shirts off.
And then I'd feel weird.
Yeah.
But in the 80s, if it was just like that.
So it's fine?
It seems like it was more common.
I mean, that was a lot of those movies.
Yeah.
It's just, it's the three B's, dude.
It's also, yeah. Boobs and bloods and beasts.
Yep. Yeah. But
sacred boots. Triple B's, yep.
But we find out when he gets back to work that somebody sold photographs to the news and to newspapers and stuff of the crash.
And it's photographs from a video, I believe.
Yes. So it's stills from a video of like and you can see this car going into the thing and people are like, oh my gosh.
Yep.
And
he sold it.
He sold it. So he's making a ton of money.
Which for us, that'd just be a TikTok video. Isn't that wild?
That's what's so insane.
Yeah.
Like it would just. News would just be way different too. Yeah,
could be anywhere.
But Jack immediately knows that that's corrupt, and that's not the full story.
I guess.
And I'm just like,
because he heard another sound.
Yeah, because he's like, there was a gunshot. Dude, he's so adamant on just like figuring out this crime.
Yeah,
just off one thing.
I mean, I guess it was the guy who's probably going to be president.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know.
No one seems to. No one else cares.
Yeah,
that's what's wild.
Everyone gets over it very
quick.
Even
the police are like, get over it, Jack.
Yeah, like when our almost president at the time got shot, we cared a lot more for not even very long, but still more.
Yeah, no one
for
was,
a week longer.
But no one was trying to solve the conspiracy. I guess maybe somebody was.
Maybe
it always starts off as a conspiracy.
Yeah, do you know he was in a BlackRock commercial?
No,
that's a conspiracy now.
Oh,
and also his hard drive was wiped. Apparently.
By who?
I don't know. They also didn't even do a cosmetology. Not cosmetology.
A makeup test?
No. They didn't do like blood samples to see if he was on drugs. They just cremated him immediately. That's what they say.
Oh.
Do you know that?
Is that real?
I don't know.
Is Earth flat?
Parts of it.
It's because of the two words.
Mm. Yep.
The Jews.
I think the two words that ruin every conspiracy theory.
You have to listen to the podcast so you know that joke. Out of context?
Not great.
Not great. So then he goes into Jack goes into the animation studio of this place and he starts looking at the photos of the crash that are in the magazine and he starts cutting it up and then he starts making like, it's cool because he takes him and makes a flip book.
It's adorable.
And I'm like, oh, I remember doing that. And then he starts thinking and he starts snapping photos. So then he like can turn it into like a stop motion animation.
You know?
Like kind of like a video. So he's taking stills but like if you think about it, he only had like 8 images.
Yep.
And how did the video look so fluid?
It was so great.
It's so fluid.
And it was like photos that were printed in a newspaper.
I know. So we took photos of a photo and then somehow made it look fine. But he's doing this. And then the director of this doing the movie that they were working on is still looking for a Scream. Yep. And this is, there's this three chicks on a couch and he goes, Scream, Scream, Scream.
I will say the third is the best screamer of them.
The third one?
Yep.
I thought she was poor.
A poor screamer?
No, poor. P-O-O-R.
Yeah, a poor screamer.
A poor screamer.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said porn.
No, a poor screamer.
She probably is a porn screamer.
Maybe. I assume that's where they got all their girls from.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's what you did in those movies, that they're porn stars.
Yeah.
That's what they do in The Nice Guys. You see your tits and it's like a porn star.
No, that's true.
Yep. I like that. Nice Guys is a great movie. Okay. Go watch that. So he tries to get the photos developed, which I don't quite understand this. So he made it. He turned this photo into a reel.
Yeah.
And then he had to go get it to, he had to go somewhere to get it developed.
I guess.
Even though he had a whole studio.
You'd think so.
That's what
like
I don't,
a film studio.
That's what I don't quite understand what happened here. But the guy said come back at midnight, but then they never show him going back, but then he ends up getting it.
I don't know. Same with I know later on he puts that with the audio.
Yeah.
But like it's not complete.
I don't quite
get it. Or like they separate still. I had no idea what he was doing with old stuff.
I don't quite get it. Yeah, we'll get to that.
I kept getting lost with that.
We'll get back to it. But then he calls Sally and tries to get...
He gets that drink with her.
A drink with her, but she's about to leave town.
Let her.
So they sit down for a quick drink and they're flirting and they're talking.
Yeah, she's teaching him about makeup for a while.
He's a smart guy. He tricked her into missing her train.
Yep.
Then she ended up staying.
Because also then we find out, because he gives up some of his backstory, we find out he was a genius, apparently.
Yeah, so he got it. He talks about how he got to start in doing sound for terrible movies. And it's because he was, first off, in the military.
But he also says he was like a genius kid. Like, super smart.
Well, yeah, taking apart radios and doing tech stuff. And then he joined the military doing sound stuff. And then he joined the police force wiring people.
Yeah, like as
doing
the guy who wires people.
Like doing an undercover wire guy.
Makes sense. That would be an important job.
But in this scene in particular, especially when they're flirting, is when I was getting really annoyed with her voice.
Sure.
And I was like, I really like this movie, but like, I don't know the voice she was doing, just like, I don't know if she was trying to be ditzy or trying she was trying to be like fake, but it was annoying. And I was like, God, I know you from RoboCop. You're not annoying.
Yeah, I did not even recognize her from RoboCop because of this.
She's in RoboCop 1, 2, and 3, I'm pretty
sure. Yeah. All right.
But it cuts to like a flashback of him while he's kind of still talking, doing wire for undercover cops to catch criminals. So it shows a scene of him wiring this guy. It's like an undercover cop.
Maybe a rat.
Yeah, or a rat or something like this. And then he's listening to this guy in a car with two criminals. And then the guy starts getting nervous and he's sweating. And then the sweat gets into the battery.
It starts burning him.
And starts burning him. The guy that's wearing the wire. And it's also causing static in the mic so we can't hear anything.
Which I would not handle well at all.
I'd be like, oh, fuck, I'm already nervous. And then stomach's burning.
Yeah, because burning is, you can't even like think about not reacting to that.
No, because you got
to
go, oh, fuck. Yeah. So then he starts freaking out. And he's like, I gotta take a piss. I gotta get out of the car. And then he goes in the bathroom. He's like rubbing his belly. And then
a criminal guy follows him.
And then the criminal guy leaves. And John Travolta's like, I gotta go see what's going on. And he's like, no, you're just gonna blow our cover.
Yeah.
And he walks in. And the guy got fucking hung.
By the wire. Which so I don't know if that's possible.
It's John Travolta's fault.
Yeah. He killed a man.
But that was like, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine?
That'd be a rough day at work.
But then you can tell it cuts back to him talking to Nancy, or yeah, I guess Sally.
Sally, yeah.
Nancy's a real name. But you can tell he still feels guilty about it.
Which?
Because he killed a man.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah.
Which is fucked up.
Yeah, you probably should have made it so he could sweat.
Well, and also like, yeah, in the early 80s, like I get it, but that's tough.
I didn't know that was a thing that could happen.
But if you're an undercover cop, you kind of take the liability of getting...
Yeah, but also the police often force rats to do that.
Yeah. Because
you have to go in for
a
while.
But also, it's definitely not the sound guy's fault.
No. Unless there's something he could have done to the equipment that makes it sweatproof.
He could have done something different.
Put in like a sleeve or something.
Yeah. And so, but we find out that the governor's assistant or whatever apparently gave Sally money to leave town.
Okay, that's what it was.
And John Travolta or Jack is trying to add the sound that he captured to the stop motion photo reel that he made. Yeah. And then he's like, okay, I promise I'll leave town with you once we get this cleared up.
Why?
They don't know each other.
Yeah.
And they're just like already, like also they kiss later in the movie and it's just like, what? It doesn't even,
all she's doing is trying to leave.
It doesn't even feel like like, it doesn't even build up to, like, you know, like a romantic kiss. It's just like a real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want them to be like happily ever after together.
They're, yeah. They,
I think she should.
They are not the Jack and Sally.
No. She should leave and he should forget about all this and then they'd be fine.
Well, he does.
Yeah.
Eventually. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But then it cuts to midday shopping mall. And some guy is standing in the middle of the mall holding a photo of Sally and looking for her. And he starts following her. And as he's following her, he passes a fish market.
Oh, yeah.
And he grabs a fish thermometer.
Thermometer thing.
He has like a very pointy thing and keeps following her. And then she's about to get on the bus. And we all think it's Sally. And he grabs her. And then they fall down a construction pit.
He got like a garrote wire around her throat.
Yeah. And then he like kills her and then stabs her. And then he turns her over and it's not Sally.
But also it looked a lot like her where I was like, oh no, Sally's dead.
Yeah, I thought it was her too. And yeah. I was like, fuck. And then we flipped it over. I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And then like,
but also I still kind of thought it was her and I just don't know her that well.
Yeah. And then, but it was weird because like, I thought he would turn over and be like, oh shit, I killed the wrong girl.
Yeah.
But no, after she was strangled to death, then he goes and stabs her more. And apparently we find out later that he was stabbing
a bell
into her stomach because he likes to kill people.
I guess.
I don't understand what his.
Do you think he's like, it's like a belly button?
Well, I know he did a bell for the Liberty Bell Parade. That's what it was
but
for.
But it's on her. Belly.
I don't know. That's his calling card. But this is when we find out that the killer
is John Lithgow.
He's John Lithgow. Third Rock from the Sun. Shrek. He's also in Footloose.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Cliffhanger.
He's in a lot of shit. Everyone would recognize him.
Something Dad. Stepdad. Whatever that movie is. With Mark Wahlberg and...
Oh, Daddy's Home.
Daddy's Home, yes. Yeah.
I think he's
in Daddy's Home, too.
Yeah, he's in the second one, which I've never seen, because those movies look... Even the first one looked so bad.
I think I've seen them, and they're not great.
It didn't even look good from the start. And I was like, I know what they're trying to capture. They're trying to get another other guys in.
Mm,
and it's like, Nope, you never will.
Nope.
The movie's so good. But as soon as like the camera like pans up and then pans back down and Sally's safe and sound, she's going to visit some guy.
Yeah.
And it's the guy that apparently took the photos of the crash.
So I was confused immediately.
Yeah. So at first I was like, is he in her apartment?
Yeah.
I was very confused because I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah. But no, she went there to see him.
Because apparently he's in charge of her.
Yes.
Kind of. Like they work together.
I don't know if he's like more like kind of a pimp.
That's what it kind of felt like.
But like they never said that.
But she doesn't do prostitution. She just does blackmail.
But like through prostitution.
But she says like, I don't actually sleep with them.
Okay. She does said that. Okay.
I just get like
photo,
get the
ready.
Photo ready.
Yeah.
You know, but this guy is a slob and a sleaze bag. And this is when we find out that Sally knows something. And we don't quite know what it is, but I'm like, oh, Sally's in on it.
I did also write, she knows something.
She knows something. Like, yeah. I don't know what it is. And then it cuts to Jack.
Back to editing.
Editing with sound. He's like, what's really cool is like, he has this old school reel thing. And he's like going back and forward with the sound, trying to get the exact part of the gunshot. And then he puts a little X on it. And then the exact part of the crash, puts a little X on it. So then he can line it up. And it's like, dude, editing would be so fucking hard back in the day to like sync shit.
And like without Adderall. Like honestly though,
yeah,
imagine doing like that painstaking work without,
I mean, dude, nowadays when I'm like syncing stuff,
like they probably did coke.
Oh, 100%. But like when I sync stuff in Premiere Pro, like I edit digitally, I can just highlight all my shit and hit synchronize.
Yeah.
And it will just be like, oh, this audio goes with this audio. Yep. Boom. Imagine how long it took to fucking do anything. Yeah. So he finds when the gun is shot, when the tire blows out, he sinks it. He also
sees the little pop.
He also sees the little muzzle flash in the image during this scene. And then he hides the tape in the ceiling tiles of, I'm guessing, his apartment. We don't know this yet either.
Yeah.
It kind of is like, where the fuck is he?
Yeah, I was confused by all that too.
But we see it. We see him hide something in his ceiling tile. And then he goes to the police station. And he's talking to a detective. And the detective like doesn't believe him and is like, leave it alone.
They don't trust each other, but he's still... takes it and like hears him out.
I was so confused why the detective wasn't trusting him, and he kept calling like what he was doing a conspiracy. And then I figured out why he doesn't trust him is because he's mad at him because he used to work for the police station, and he got people locked up and he got people killed.
Yeah, I forgot about that part too.
For doing sound. And I'm just like, but he didn't like it. I feel like it's a lot of this stuff kind of got rushed.
Yeah. Well, and also it's very much like, yeah, but who was in charge of him?
Yeah, exactly.
Still part of the police.
Yeah. Like, and he was still on your
internal
team.
Affairs. Yeah.
But then apparently the guy who took the photos disappeared, but it, even though the guy that took the photos we just met.
Yeah.
But they're like, we can't find him anymore.
I was kind of confused by that.
And then the killer, because of the killer on like a payphone talking to the boss man, which I still don't know who the hell that was.
Like the guy he was hired through.
Yeah. I don't.
Also, they explained that John Lithgow was supposed to capture the affair, but I thought that's what the photographer was there to do.
No. So like the photographers, so the whole plot of this was they were supposed to get the governor out of the race, but not kill him.
Yeah.
Like they were supposed to like take photos of him having an affair.
So what was John Lithgow supposed to do?
I think he initially wanted to kill him and everyone said, no, we're not killing him. And he goes, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
I think he like kind of went rogue on this.
But what was he supposed to do?
I don't know.
They just needed photos of the affair.
Which was a different guy.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I think this guy
went rogue and he's just a killer.
But yeah. Why was he hired for this?
I don't quite know.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah, it was supposed to be just a cheating scandal, not a murder.
Yeah.
I was so confused by that fact.
So he wasn't supposed to kill the governor. The boss guy is mad at him. And he's like, well, it's what happens. What's happened, happened. And now I gotta tie up the loose ends. So that's why he changed the tire. That's why he got rid of the tape somehow. And then he's trying to find the photographer. That's why he thinks he killed Sally.
I was confused by that, too, of the tapes were all of a sudden deleted. Yeah, because
we don't see a scene of that happening.
Like, I don't understand what happened.
Yeah, that was
little... That's why it turned out it was good that he hid the tapes in the ceiling.
Because that was the only copy that was left.
I was so confused by all of that.
I didn't quite get that. But then it cuts back to, again, the guy who runs this production company is still looking for screams.
Yeah, he's still working on screams.
And he's trying to get these girls to scream, and they're all terrible.
Yep.
And Jack's back in the studio working on the sound. And I love this shot.
The rotating.
So this is when Jack comes back and he starts looking through his tapes and he starts realizing that all of his tapes are erased, which that would be so much fucking work.
I thought so. Like that. And also, I didn't think everyone would know how to do that either.
No. And that would be like, dude, I'd be so.
All of them.
Like you'd be ruined. But the camera is just rotating 360 degrees and it does it like five or six times, but it gets faster and faster. And it kind of builds up. Like you can feel the anxiety.
Sure.
And like he starts panicking and then because everything's gone, like all of his shit's gone, which is really cool. The police are trying to call him. The phone starts ringing. Like shit starts stacking and stacking and stacking. And he just like freaks out because all of his shit's gone, dude. Yeah. So he finds out that the tape he gave to the detective was blank. So now that he even thinks it's even more so a conspiracy.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, you don't have anything.
Because also I was confused when that happened.
Yeah. Because if he gave him the tape, how would that got erased?
Because also I thought he said, I listened to the tape, that it was good. Like that kind of stuff.
He must have listened to it before. But
like
I don't.
The night before?
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Yeah, I was so confused by that.
I guess the more I dive into it, little loose ends.
A little washy.
Yeah. But overall, I liked it.
They hit a lot of the washy stuff. They hit with a really cool film scene.
Yes. Doing the 360 camera. I was like, that's cool as hell.
Yeah.
So he tries calling Sally and, I love this overhead shot too of like
this one.
So it was like a bird's eye view. They do it later on in the movie too. It's a bird's eye view top down of his office, just completely disheveled, fucking shit everywhere. And he's like calling Sally and then it just shows him leave. And I just like creative shit like that.
Sure.
You know, creative shots like that. So as he's leaving, a news reporter comes to talk to Jack. And for some odd reason, the news reporter
and like
is the only one that believes him.
And like, he comes to talk to him not as like he's doing a news segment and like he's on camera right now. It's that he wants to cover this.
Yeah, because he heard somehow.
Yeah,
which
I
don't
like gotcha. It was like through the grapevine.
No, he heard through the grapevine that he had proof that this was a murder and
he
wanted to.
Believes him.
But he's the only one that believes him.
And I was so confused by
that. I was a little confused by that because I was like, who told him?
Because I was also a little bit like, is this a part of the conspiracy?
Yeah, is this guy going to try and hide it? You know? So, and also at this part, Jack is disheveled because all of his shit's erased.
Yeah.
He starts to doubt himself a little bit because he's like, am I going crazy?
Yeah.
So then it goes back to his apartment. He goes to grab the tape.
And he has tape with sound again.
He has tape with sound, which I think that's the original copy. But then he had.
So then I don't understand what the issue is. That was my thing.
Well, all of his work got erased.
That's true. That sucks.
You know, like all the wind noises, all the punches, all the shit. Like, imagine your entire hard drive getting erased.
I'd be like,
fuck.
Even if I have something more important that I still have, that still sucks.
Yeah. Everything's your entire, like 2 years of movies are gone. You know, like that of sound. That sucks.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. He goes to show Sally. And then he's telling Sally that like somebody erased all of his tapes, even the one that got turned into the police. And then we find out that Sally was trying to blackmail the governor.
Yeah, because she thought it was also just a cheating scandal.
Yeah, she didn't know that he was going to die.
Well, also that she was left for dead,
and
too.
And then she didn't realize, yeah, so she starts getting conflicted on who to trust. Should she trust Jack, who saved her life, or should she trust this pimp guy, who's a sleazy dirtbag?
Who also couldn't swim. Forgot about that fact,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he brings that up later, too. But apparently we find out that she likes doing makeup. She does makeup, but she doesn't make any money doing it.
Yep.
So then she blackmails people for money to pay the bills.
Yeah. But also, she is better at makeup than everybody else. She says that too.
Yeah, she's like,
I know how to do this.
This took 2 hours, and it looks like I'm not even wearing it.
I'm like,
what?
Yeah, just don't wear makeup then.
You look fine. But Jack starts getting pissed off, and we find out that he needs the original film to help save the case, which I don't quite understand, because when he shows Sally it, it's kind of stop motiony with sound, and it's like, that gets the point, but...
Yeah, is it that he could have edited that? But also, I thought he did edit all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't quite know. So he's like, maybe if I get the original, then it's more solid proof.
It's still edited though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because it's sound being put to something that didn't have sound. Right. I don't know.
I didn't understand that.
I don't know. So then Sally goes back to talk to the sleazebag, who we find out his name is Manny. And he's like a drunk, and I don't know if he's like the pimp or whatever.
I guess.
But Manny admits that some guy offered him $6,000 to get the governor out of the race, but he wasn't supposed to die.
Right.
He was just supposed to take photos of the affair, and then that would dethrone him out of the race, so he wouldn't win the presidential thing, and he'd get paid $6,000. He knew the car was going to crash, but the death was an accident. Which I don't even... So he knew the tire was going to get shot?
But, yeah. But the tire getting shot... Because it's the crash that still killed the governor.
I don't quite know, because he was already dead... Did he hit his head on the steering wheel? Is that why he got all bloody?
Because, like, it would have made more sense if instead of shooting the tire, he shot the guy.
Yeah, he shot the guy.
And that's what killed him.
Yeah. But then there'd be a bullet probably.
In the person.
Yeah.
And that we would talk about.
People would be looking for that.
I was so confused by all of that.
Yeah. So Sally starts to feel guilty now. Because he's like, we killed the almost president.
Yep.
Yeah, that's, now that I'm saying that out loud, that's fucked up.
That's a bad sentence to be saying.
That's bad. But I did like, so Manny is like a sleazebag. Whoever has played this character, they did a great job. Like, this guy is a dirtball. So Manny's like, just be quiet. Just, I'll give you the money. Just don't tell anybody. And then he keeps like getting on her. Like, he starts flirting and getting closer and starts kissing
rapey.
Her. He gets very rapey, and she keeps going no and no and no. Yep. And then he like forces her down. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
And she grabs a glass bottle and just like boops him
and
with
just
it.
Hits him with the head.
But like not even hard.
But the glass breaks.
Yep.
He gets passed out. And this is again where we get the bird's eye view top down, which was so cool. Because she walks over, grabs the original tape, which was just hanging there for some reason.
Yeah.
And then leaves. And I'm just like, okay. But the overhead shots were so cool. Especially like early 80s, like that's kind of experimental for back then, I feel like, you know?
I'd say this film would be.
Yeah. This, I mean, Brian De Palma, he went on to fucking make amazing things. But then we cut back to Jack and Sally watching the original tape with sound. So this one's better, I guess.
I guess.
And you can clearly see the gunshot on the original tape.
Yep.
Which is like, but it's still a muzzle flash.
So now he has the original tape.
With his
instead
sound.
Instead of the photos from the tape.
Instead of the animated one.
Yes.
But the first time we see it that's animated stop motion, it still looks like a film.
It still looks pretty good.
It's not four stills put together. It looks pretty fluid.
Yeah, maybe that's where it got confusing.
I mean, this movie was only an hour 40, so like I feel like some things were kind of a little rushed.
Sure.
So he calls the reporter, and he's like, I got the tape. I'm ready to show you. And then we find out that the killer, John Lithgow, is fucking in the basement, wired in, listening to the phone call.
I guess.
This guy knows how to do that?
He's also, we find out, is controlling the phone calls as well.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that. And then there's a scene right before where the killer's in the phone booth talking to his boss again and crying. Do you remember that? And he's like crying that he killed
a
girl.
No, he wasn't talking to his boss. He's talking to a like news person. Or the cops.
Oh, shit. And he's like fake crying?
So he was saying what happened with the crime. The girl he left. So the girl he killed earlier in the movie, he's telling people where her body is.
Oh, so he was like the whistleblower. So then the body
he wanted that to be a news story. Yeah.
But he was acting like he just found her, not killed her.
I think he acted like he was her husband that killed her. Or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
No,
yeah.
He was lying about who he was and that he killed her.
I was kind of confused by that. But then he follows Jack. And then this is when he starts listening to the phone call. And Jack is trying to convince Sally to go on the news. And she doesn't want to because she's like, I want to be done with this. I don't want to be known for trying to blackmail or trying to kill the president. Or almost president. And then while this is happening, we find out on the news that the identity of the girl has been announced, but the killer hasn't been found yet.
We find out it's a serial killer too.
Yeah, because there's a Liberty Bell cut into her stomach.
Yeah, and like
because later on in the movie, the Liberty Bell parade is coming up.
Building a new bell to be rung.
Yeah,
something like that.
So where does this movie take place?
I don't know. Because I was confused by that the killer was also like a weird serial killer. He wasn't like a mob killer.
That's what it started off as. And then it seems like he just went rogue.
Yeah.
And he's doing his own thing for no reason. So then he is just a serial killer. But then the killer blocks Jack's phone line.
Yep.
And then calls Sally pretending to be the reporter and gets her to have a meeting with him.
Even though she said she didn't want to meet with the reporter.
But then she eventually
is fine with it.
Which is sucks because Sally goes to visit Jack. Jack's all fucking paranoid. You know, he gets all silly.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know what? I'm going to wire you.
Which is the one thing he never wanted to do again.
But I get it. If you got everybody doubting you and you got one original of this and that's it,
you got to
cover all your bases.
I was confused why he couldn't just make another copy now.
He goes, I don't have time. That's what he kept saying. He goes, I don't have time to make a copy of a video.
Time for what?
Like, well, I think he could make a copy of the sound, but a video takes longer, especially for the early 80s.
He definitely could have gone to the news station and made a copy with the news station stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's what I would have done.
But cuts to the train station. We see the killer waiting to meet with Sally, but then he overhears a prostitute talking to a sailor.
Yep.
And this is, again, where I was a little confused.
Yep.
I was like, what's the motive of this guy?
I think he hates women.
Then we figure out his watch is a strangle device, which is kind of cool. Like, it's a gadget, but I'm like, you have a gadget?
Yeah, because also that answers a question from the beginning of the film is where you hear the watch sound.
Oh, okay.
Like, of him, like, waiting in the woods to shoot the tire.
Oh.
That's in the beginning. Is that what you hear noise? The watch sound. Oh,
okay,
at one
I didn't
point.
Catch
yeah.
that. Okay. So then the killer decides that he has plenty of time to go kill this prostitute, which is so weird. So the sailor starts getting ahead.
Yeah, he gets a blowout.
But he finishes way too quick.
Which she's mad about?
She gets mad about.
I thought that's like the dream.
Yeah, because then she still gets the paid, but I think she gets paid by minute.
He gives her less because he's an asshole.
Yeah. But then the killer's like, I'll give you money for sex.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, really, yeah, because he's mad that he came too fast because he paid for like 20 minutes or something like that. But I'm like, let's try and go again. Yeah. She's not by the cum. She's by the minute.
Yeah, she's by the minute, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking flush it.
Use it. Yeah.
Use it.
Use the time. Yeah.
But she gets mad. And then the prostitute agrees to have sex with the killer, but then goes to the bathroom to freshen up. You know, obviously brush her teeth, get that cum out of her.
Which she was going to do regardless. I don't know why he had to offer her money.
Oh, you're going to clean up anyway?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
He could have just followed her.
But he goes into the stall next to her when she's brushing her teeth and starts peeking over. He starts wearing his gloves. And this is a little creepy.
This shot was wild.
Yeah, this is a cool shot because there was like a cool mirror, but it's over the head. But then he grabs his string from his watch and is waiting to strangle her. And then freaking right as he strangles her, she starts kicking the door, but then the train passes, so it gets all muffled. Mm. And I'm like, damn, this guy's kind of a smart killer.
Kind of. But he's
like killing on instinct.
Yeah, he doesn't need to kill.
And this girl, just like the first girl he killed, looked just like Sally.
Yep. I assume he stabbed her a bunch too.
Yeah. And then I don't quite know. The two prostitutes look just like Sally, even though Sally's not a prostitute.
But also she kind of is. But also
I don't quite know.
But also like serial killers aren't like told to kill this person. They just kill everyone who looks like her.
No. Yeah. It seems like he had something against prostitutes.
Or sex workers. Yeah.
And then he just happened to be
a contract killer, but not even because he wasn't supposed to kill the governor.
But then he's trying to tie up the loose ends.
And they were fine with him doing that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we cut to Jack and Sally going to meet the reporter.
Or so they think.
Yeah. So this is when they kiss.
Yeah.
And they just lean over and kiss. And then he's like, thanks for helping me.
Yeah.
And she's like, what?
And he's like wiring her up.
Yeah. So then he's like listening and she's going in. The killer watches as Sally walks into the train station, which I don't get why he was upstairs.
Yeah.
That was weird. And he was like cleaning up blood that was on the floor. But I was like, you're not in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Where'd the body go? Maybe he was putting the body somewhere to be found.
Maybe.
They never talk about that either.
No, they don't. Yeah.
But the killer walks up. Jack's listening on the headset.
He knows it's weird.
He instantly goes, that's not the reporter's voice. Yep. Because the reporter has a very distinct voice.
That's right.
Like, he has a very distinct reporter voice. Where it's like, I was like, oh, Taylor could play that role.
No, that's
like, he has that voice, you know? So then he runs in and he goes, something's not right. And he starts running after him. But then the killer and Sally are nowhere to be found, mm-hmm. because he's like, let's talk in private. And Sally's like naive, I guess. Like, I don't quite. She kept like just like
going with him.
Going with.
And also then she's like, all right, well, we're going to get on the subway. And she's fine with it.
She's just like, okay. Yeah. So the killer's about to kill Sally because mm-hmm. they're in like an abandoned railway system. But then a guy with a hose comes out and stops it. And it's like, oh, thank goodness. But then they get on the train and Jack misses it. And he's like, fuck.
Plus, why would she get on the train?
I don't. Because she apparently trusts the reporter.
I guess, but still.
And she has the only tape.
Yep.
Which is wild. So then he runs and jumps in his car and starts following the train. I love when. So where he's parked, uh-huh. he's like a sidewalk, and he just drives over it.
Forward.
He just drives forward. He goes up over the curb and into the street. And then it's the start of the parade.
Yep. And he's just right into it.
Yeah. So he's driving as crazy as he can. He's going through red lights. He's busting through police barricades that say stop, stop, stop. Yep. But he's like going through it. And then he just gets
through crowds.
He just gets into the parade and is driving. And he luckily doesn't hit anybody. But then he crashes into a building.
And also the building had a weird noose display.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, no, there's like people like mannequins hanging from nooses.
What the fuck?
In the display. Yeah.
I did not notice that. I just noticed everybody was celebrating. And then he like, because he crashed so hard, he hit his head on the steering wheel and was bleeding and had passed out.
Yeah.
And I was just like, fuck.
Didn't have to do that.
Yeah. What the
hell? Definitely makes things harder.
Yeah. Now you're ruined.
Yeah.
Because like, dude, everybody's there and everybody saw you.
And also you have like all of New York.
Yeah, all of New York as a witness.
But also.
And he just drove through a parade.
But the Liberty Bell's in Pennsylvania.
I don't quite know. Maybe it took place in Pennsylvania.
I don't know. It didn't seem like it though.
But then also had like LA vibes.
Because also they were on the water at times, weren't they?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Because they go to the river.
I thought it was LA-esque too because they're working with movies. Because
they're working with movies.
But I guess it was.
Maybe it's in fictional town.
Maybe. But they talked about the Liberty Bell.
That has a Liberty Bell.
I was confused by that. That might have just been our fault though.
But we cut back to Sally and the killer and they're alone in the dark, like by a river.
Yeah.
And she's about to give him the film. It cuts back to Jack and he's in the back of an ambulance, taped up.
Not doing well.
But then he like wakes up and he's still got the earpiece in, I guess. And he like.
He's back.
He busts out of the ambulance and starts running. Dude, there'd be so many fucking police people.
Because you also.
You drove through a parade.
Yeah, it's not
That's like a terrorist attack.
Yeah, it's not that you crash your car and then they're helping you. It's that you were an active like.
Yeah, it's like a terrorist
criminal.
Attack.
Yeah,
you could have killed thousands of people.
Yeah, you almost ran over cops.
Yeah, you almost.
And then hit a building.
You almost did a lot of stuff. But then we see Sally give the killer the tape and the thing. And he's like, he starts wrapping it up and she's like, oh, what are you doing that for? And then he throws it in the river.
Yep.
And we're just like, oh, shit, dude.
Well, there it goes.
And then.
Too bad they didn't have time to make a second one.
And then he starts strangling her.
Yeah.
And then the fireworks start going off. But then instead of like quite strangling her, he's like, no, I want to strangle you someplace else.
Yeah.
And he starts dragging her up steps.
Like, yeah.
He wants to strangle her by the Liberty Bell.
I don't.
Is that where they were going?
No.
They were going up
like
steps.
He pulled her pretty fucking far. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't quite know. Jack is running to try and find him, but he doesn't quite know where.
Yeah. Because luckily he woke up just in time to hear her getting murdered.
But so we can hear her screaming, but he's like, I don't know. And there's people everywhere.
Yeah. And also, like, because I feel like those can't transmit very far. It's like when I lose my phone, but to make sure I didn't leave it anywhere, I put in my headphones.
Oh, to see if it connects. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he said, because it's like police tech, you know?
That's fair. But also, would he be allowed to keep police tech?
I don't know. He had the wire stuff.
That's true.
Readily available.
Yeah, he had it.
Yeah, luckily she didn't start sweating.
Yeah, she'd be dead.
But the killer drags her up the stairs to the top of the Liberty Bell. I'm guessing that's where it was.
Somewhere. I think it's just on a roof.
Jack all of a sudden he hears her scream
and then
sees her reaching over and yelling for Jack.
Thank God they see each other.
And I literally wrote at this point in the movie, I've never seen this before in my life. I go, that's the scream they're going to use.
I put, now that's a good scream.
Yeah, I go, yep. I literally go, I have a feeling her scream will be used in the movie they're working on.
Yep.
Because I was like, oh, it's on tape now.
It's a good scream.
Yeah, and it was a great scream because it's real, you know? So then Jack starts running up the stairs in slow motion. It's building anticipation. There's music playing. The fireworks going off. Jack runs up as the killer's about to stab, and Jack stops him and stabs John Lithgow, and he fucking dies. Hopefully he got a bell put in him.
Yeah, got the whole, like, why he stabbed yourself.
But as soon as he throws the killer off of him, he looks down, and Sally's already dead.
Fucking dead.
Like, god damn, that's the worst.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, this is going to be stupid when she, like, takes a deep breath again. Because, like, she was, like, choked
no,
out.
No, she got...
she's dead.
No, which makes sense because he strangled the last person and then carved the Liberty Bell. So he was about to carve the Liberty Bell. But no, so she's dead.
Yep.
Sally's dead. They killed her.
But also, I didn't really care.
Yeah, they're like...
I didn't care about any of these characters.
Yeah, so then Jack holds up Sally's dead body with fireworks going off in the background. The camera's spinning. Beautiful fireworks.
It's
like kind of slow motion.
It's very green screen.
Very green screen.
At first I was like, oh, this is really pretty. I'm like, oh no, this looks like shit.
And then it just keeps going, dude. And there's like soft piano music in the background. And then it fades to black. And then it cuts to winter time.
Yep.
So how long has it been? Months.
Who knows?
Probably. Who knows? But Jack's sitting on the bench in the snow listening to Sally's voice.
Listening to her get murdered.
Well, at this point, he's just listening to her talking about...
He lets it play long enough.
Well, at the beginning, she's talking about when they get out of this, they'll go to New York and see shows and like...
Yeah, so they weren't in New York. Maybe they did go. I don't know.
But they cut to the news and they say that Sally was the one who killed the killer.
Oh, that's what they say. Okay. Yeah,
which is weird because it's like... But also, everybody's got to be looking for him. He fucking drove through a parade.
Yeah, he still should be a wanted criminal.
So then Jack is in the studio listening to the sound of the murder. And then, of course, they use the scream in the movie. And you can tell at the very end of the movie he's a shell of a man.
Yep.
Like, he's just like, I've gotten so many people killed because of me.
Yep.
And he's just smoking a cigarette and he goes, I think the last line of the movie is, now that's a good scream.
And that's it.
And that's blowout.
What the fuck? So, like, he learned nothing. Except for that helping doesn't help.
Yeah, like, being a nice guy is kind of shitty.
And, like, yeah, he'd still be wanted for the parade.
Yeah. I do have closing thoughts.
Okay.
That I wrote down right after the movie ended, because I like doing that. So I put, I really enjoyed this film. Crazy that this was early 1980s. Mm-hmm. Definitely could see later movies like this be inspired by this one. And this movie definitely reminded me of Nightcrawler. Have you ever seen Nightcrawler?
I have not.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about a...
The guy who takes photos.
Camera guy who turns news shit into, or turns footage into news things for money, but then he starts setting up crimes.
Yeah.
So it's a psychological thriller. Mm-hmm. So,
it's on my list.
So I thought the concept was really interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I love that it's like, you know, a sound guy captures it, and then he gets like, and then the shots were really cool. Mm-hmm. I love the split shot. I love the over the head shot.
The spinning shot.
But I definitely would watch this again. I think it was the perfect length and didn't feel slow at all. Like, it was just a nice, easy 90-minute, 100-minute movie.
Sure.
It sucks because I watched it on Tubi, so there were ads that was kind of distracting.
That did suck.
But I feel like without ads, it'd just be like, okay, it is what it is.
Do you think we're ready for the official Moist Movie of the Month, Moist Meter?
Do we want to do Before the Moist Meter and Izzy's Insights?
Oh, yeah. Let's do an Izzy's Insights. Welcome back to Moist Movie of the Month.
Here we are with Izzy's Insights. What are your thoughts, feelings, reactions to Blowout 1981?
Well, to start off, I didn't really have many reactions. It was okay. I think we were talking earlier. I think overall I liked it, but I understand why John Travolta is not known for it.
Oh, wow. Right. That's a hot take.
Okay.
I mean, I just don't think the movie... I had never heard of this movie.
Yeah, me neither.
So I just don't think it's a big movie. But it's Brian De Palma, so...
I don't know. It was okay. It was fine.
He went on to make Scarface, Mission Impossible. Oh, he went on to make big movies.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And he wrote and directed this. What would you rate it?
Probably like a 4.5.
Out of 10?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What?
That's fucking low.
It didn't really... It was fine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Any other closing thoughts or any insights about it? Any favorite scenes? Favorite shots?
I liked when she died at the end. I thought it was fun. It was weird. It was a weird
You'd
ending.
Like that?
Yeah, it was bizarre. Yeah. She's it like, just kind of, you know.
It wasn't expected.
Well, but also it is for that kind of movie.
Kind of. That's true. We didn't like the idea of them ending up together.
No.
Yeah, their chemistry wasn't good.
No.
Like they didn't feel like. Yeah.
Not at all. But I loved her character.
Really?
I really liked her.
See, I thought her voice was.
I loved her voice.
I thought her voice was kind of annoying.
It was a bit much.
I love it. I think she's adorable.
I mean, I love her because of RoboCop. Because she's the main lead in, or next to the RoboCop.
But. Yeah, next to the titular character.
Yeah, next to RoboCop. But I really like this movie.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
I really like some of the shots, especially for 81. Like,
yeah, you were talking about that too. You really like the shots
like
too.
The split screen was sick, and they did that a few times. And then there was an over the head shot that they did. That I always love, like where it's like a bird's eye view kind of looking down on a room.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's creative. That's a creative storytelling instead of just creative or normal shots. You know?
I get that.
Anything else to add?
Not really.
All right. Short and sweet. Now it's time for the official Moist Movie of the Month.
Moist Meter.
Bye now.
All right, welcome back to the official Moist Movie of the Month, Moist Meter. Before we jump into our official review of this movie is this movie glass half full or glass half empty, I forgot to do this while Izzy was on, so I'll do it now. Talk about some trivia from Blowout. Right. It's always fun to go on IMDb and read the trivia.
It's one of my favorite things, but I did not do it for this film, so I don't know what this
one of the first things that I read on trivia was footage of this film was stolen before the movie was finished.
That's fun.
The driver of a van that had two reels of film in it stopped at Dunkin' Donuts, leaving the van unattended, and the van got stolen and the footage was gone.
Huh.
It was footage from when they filmed the Liberty Parade sequence.
Interesting.
So they had to reshoot all of it and it cost them $750,000.
So that's why they rushed it so much.
$750,000.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because they had to reshoot. And that's so many extras.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a one-on-one scene.
Right, yeah.
No, yeah. That sucks.
That's wild, yeah.
And it's just, it's just some guy that was driving a van.
Yeah.
And he was like, I need coffee.
Yep. And he just didn't lock the door.
The van got stolen.
That sucks.
John Travolta, during this movie, suffered insomnia throughout the entire shoot. And that's why his performance through it was kind of moody.
Okay.
Like, you can tell in some scenes, like, he's kind of disheveled, which works.
Yeah.
For some of it, but it's like...
He's grumpy. That's it.
That's because he wasn't fucking sleeping. Blowout was based on a 1966 movie called Blow Up.
Okay.
Which is the exact same... Basically the exact same plot.
Sure, but a blow-up doll pops instead of a tire?
No, but instead of, like, a sound recordist... Uh-huh. It's the 1960s, so he's a photographer.
Oh, okay.
So I'm pretty sure it's just about a photographer that witnesses a murder on camera.
And just takes some photos of it.
Yeah.
But then keeps having to.
But I like the plot of the sound guy.
The sound is fun.
This next fact is my favorite of all time.
Okay.
For this movie.
Yeah.
In an interview, Quentin Tarantino
said
this is his favorite Brian De Palma film.
Okay.
And because of Blowout, that is the reason he casted John Travolta in Pulp Fiction.
Shit, okay.
Which is, I remember when I saw Pulp Fiction for the first time, I was like, that's a weird choice.
Yeah, well, it was weird that he did that.
Yeah,
because he brought him, like, kind of back.
Because it's a weird movie for him.
Yeah. Especially, like, when you knew him from, like, Grease.
Him from Grease, but then he also goes on and does another musical later on. Like,
Hairspray.
Hairspray.
That's fantastic.
Hairspray is great. But it's like, damn. So because of his role on this, Quentin Tarantino was like, oh, he can do a serious...
I mean, he was.
And he was pretty good.
I thought he was good.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good at it. And then Brian De Palma's initial idea for Jack, for the main guy, was Al Pacino.
I mean, yeah, still would have been great.
Still would have been great. But then they casted John Travolta. And then the studio was like, hey, since John Travolta's in it, should we make Sally be Olivia Newton-John? That was their idea, and Brian De Palma said no.
Good.
No.
That'd have been weird.
Because they were like, the success of Grease would help the success of this movie. And he goes, this isn't Grease.
Yeah.
This is a serious psychological political drama.
That'd have been very weird.
It would have been.
If they were just like the Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson duo of just the early 80s for no reason.
I mean, it's like their chemistry would be better, but I would be distracted by it. You know?
I would be distracted by Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah. Because those are my fun facts. Huh. But now it's time.
For the official.
For the official moist meter. I think I'm pretty happy with it. I initially was going
to add some more.
So add more when I talk. I initially was going to rate this movie a little bit higher than I wanted to. But after talking through it and like analyzing it and being like, okay, there is some loose stuff and figuring out, I rated it a little bit lower. But I did really like this movie and I am going to own it, you know, because it's part of the Moist Earning collection. Jacob's pouring beer. I'm curious where he rated it because he's still pouring.
Yeah, I'd say I have a little bit higher than necessary.
Okay,
still
so
close.
Jacob poured in a little bit too much beer. So for those people listening at home and those people watching on YouTube, and if you've never been a part of the Moist Movie of the Month, we rate it on a pour system, half full or half empty, and then we rate it. And then, just for fun, we have to chug it. So if a movie's really good, we have to chug a lot of beer. Yep. So it kind of sucks.
Because what was it? What made me throw up?
The Saltburn one?
Yeah, Saltburn.
Because we did Come in a Tub.
Yeah, which was just rum a chata. Glass of water with a shot of rum chata
that was
in
disgusting.
It was rough. I threw up a lot.
But before we reveal...
Oh, all right.
I'm keep trying to tease the audience. Yeah. Before we reveal any closing thoughts, any closing anything, because when we reveal, then we'll... You know, it'll be over.
I would say it's a movie I loved on concept more than performance.
Yes, I think it could have... The concept was really cool. Really fascinating idea. And it started off so good. It was I think the start of the movie was better than the full... Like
The two-thirds mark, it was a lot of half-segment circles that just got like started and close, and then you found out they don't go anywhere. And then they started another little one. Yep. Like
they were trying... I think they just ran out of time, maybe.
I was confused about where everything was.
I think talking it out...
I didn't know the stakes well.
I think talking it out made me more confused than I initially was.
Yeah.
Because I thought about it, and I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But you know, it is a movie. You gotta...
Also, maybe we missed stuff. But
yeah, true. We could have... Because I missed like the string watch in the beginning. But let's see who rated it higher. Is this movie half full or half empty?
Whoa, you did way higher than I did.
So both of our opinions, it's a half full movie.
Yep.
I thought it was pretty good. I might have been a little strong in my pour. I initially was going to give this an 8 out of a 10.
Ooh, because I was going to say like 6 out of 10, but like if I'm being as honest as possible, I'd say like a 5.8.
Damn. I'm shocked Izzy gave it a 4.5.
Yeah.
Like that's half empty.
That's lower than I would have done.
Yeah. This movie's at least a 6 in my book.
It did enough cool stuff that it made up for the issue.
And John Travolta was great in it.
Yeah.
And Nancy Allen, even though I didn't like her voice, she was still pretty decent in it.
She was a great actress.
Yeah, John Lithgow, interesting choice. Yeah. But
he didn't do
bad.
But
in the 80s, like... I mean,
yeah.
He probably wasn't as big as he was, but he also was on Third Rock from the Sun. But I mean, that was the 90s, wasn't it?
He plays a serial killer later on in his career as well.
Oh, in Dexter?
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's very good in that.
I forget. Yeah. So he kind of does have that look.
And, apparently.
Yeah. So that was our review of Blowout. I'm getting confused with the 1966 movie. But thanks for watching. Thanks for tuning in. It's time to chug this beer and get the hell out of here.
And if you want one of these pint glasses yourself... Write in on our next movie review, email us a review, and then we might choose yours to be the winner.
Yes. A few people have won, and that's kind of cool. So, cheers, everybody.
Cheers. To Blowout.
Bye.